I'll go ahead and thank the press for coming, the city employees and our candidates for city council for showing up and showing interest. And Mr. Bronson, you can begin.
All right, well, I think I've given everybody that's come in a paper copy, so if you want to follow along or if I'm too boring, you want to skip ahead, whatever's fun for you. Today we're going to go through the Chief Smith. Here's a, we're going to go through the. Oh, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong presentation up. So this is the second in our budget workshops where we will go through the general fund, the hospitality tax fund, the recreation fund, solid waste, and youth recreation fund. And this is what we call an expenditure review. So this is for you to get a sense of how we have been spending money years past, how we've spent it this year, so you can begin thinking about how you would like for us to spend it in the upcoming year. Right now we have the revenue review still scheduled on April the 12th, but tonight when you have a council meeting, I'm going to ask if you'd like to move the meetings we had scheduled for the 12th to the 5th, because the week of the 11th is actually the week that Oconee County School District is out. I've had a couple of requests to move it for that reason, so if that changes, then what you see on here, revenue review, would actually be on April 5th instead of the 12th. The other meetings would hold the same. And we talked about this last time, with new council members coming on, I'm going to do my best to get them these budget workshop materials to all of them, but they will come on in June. In May. So in the event that you or they or together you want to make adjustments, we certainly will. So probably going back a little farther than necessary here, but I had the data for 6 years. So as we look at each one of these funds, and really this is everything that's not in your utility fund here, this is how the money has been appropriated through the years. I'll point out the one asterisk that's on here for 2022. You may recall that we allocated $266,000 and a few dollars out of hospitality tax reserves. I believe the audited amount last year was in the $400,000 to $600,000 range. And some of that was to cover field improvements out at Owens Field. So where you see hospitality tax fund have a big jump from 21 to 22, that's not a jump in revenue, that's just an allocation of fund balance. And it's just hospitality tax fund balance. And hospitality tax fund balance has to be kept separate from the rest of our fund balances because it's collected for tourism purposes.
Hold up. Yeah, on the solid waste, what was the 2021 that jumped to 500? Do you remember what that was?
I believe that's when we began debt service payments on one of the garbage trucks. If it's not that, then I'm not certain there. Okay. Actually, that would be too soon. We won't pay it off that quick. I'm not certain why it jumped to 500.
So the hospitality fund has showed a steady increase since 18 to 21?
Yeah, right now I think we're on schedule to collect about $170,000 in hospitality tax for this current fiscal year. So in years past, we've been budgeting $140,000. When we look at the revenue at the end of this year, it very likely will adjust that up. Which just shows good, strong, healthy receipts in that.
Right.
You good?
Yes, sir.
So looking at the general fund here, again, some of these charts, I like to give it to you in both formats, in the numbers and the charts, just so you can look to see how we have trended over time. There's not really a whole lot to do with this other than to raise your awareness of what our level of spending is. But please stop me if you have a question. Here, the reason you see no data in 2017 is because Public Works was actually in a different fund back then, and it was separated out here. Not a lot going on, not departmental. So I categorize public safety as three functions that we have: police, fire, and codes enforcement. So looking first at the police department, and I'll go ahead and acknowledge I put the little police shield on all the slides for police. That's because Chief Patterson sent me some kind of email. It had that little badge in it. So
does
I thought,
Michael have one for fire department? Does he not have it on his?
It's not on his, but if he gets it to me, I'll make sure it's on everything.
I do that if you get some complaints there. And then Lee might want one as well for the elect.
Oh, I got all kinds of
that. So looking back at police, and I'm going to flip to the next slide. So the numbers that you see on the previous slide that you may want to look at on your paper, a lot of that change is because of staffing. I expect that we're going to come to you with an equal plan of staffing for police and fire. Chief Smith has asked for additional firefighters. I don't know that we'll be able to accommodate those. As far as I'm concerned, having a stable staffing level is important to the men and women that we have in the police and the fire department, as well as those who may come here. However, the end of all of this is your choice to choose how we will fund that.
All right, go back to that previous slide. Is there any way to look at the total budget and see for the police department how much a per officer cost would be, or is that wouldn't just be in personnel because you've got, well, no, capital outlay wouldn't be affected by that.
I would say I could probably do it in the time that I've been here.
Yeah.
If we go back much further than that, particularly when you had some of the staffing ups and downs, well, I can tell you, Matt has done a pretty good job of getting rid of what I'm going to call some of the excess equipment that we had, which are the vehicles. So, and I'll, if you don't mind, I'm going to flip over to that slide, which is right here. Mm-hmm. We had two more vehicles that we've since gotten rid of. Am I right, Matt? That was two, wasn't it, that we got rid of?
Yes.
So on here now, what you have is enough vehicles for each officer to have a vehicle, and we have a spare for day shift and a spare for night shift. Now, right now, those spares are in the form of one of them's the Crown Vic and one of them's the Charger, and they're the two least reliable vehicles. We moved the F-250 that you see down there was a vehicle that we moved out of utilities when we bought new vehicles for utilities this year. Chief Patterson was able to utilize that for him. He said that he'd like to have had a pickup truck anyway just for things that they do. So I'm showing you this because part of my intent, before I tell you what that is, Matt also provided the calls for service broken down. Not just for our police department, but also for the sheriff's office during those hours where our officers are not here. Going to the fire. Are you good with police? You tell me if I'm going too fast. Again, the same thing on fire is going to apply to what we had with police. When the staffing level changes, you can see a corresponding change to the overall departmental budget. And
well, you mentioned a while ago fluctuations in the number of officers. It wasn't really a fluctuation. We literally cut police and fire positions so we could work on the, we could address the electrical issues. So that was the reason. It wasn't anything to do with the police department. It was council did that. It was our call, really. It wasn't popular, but we had to do it to get the electrical, save money in the utility fund so we could do the electrical. Michael, you stayed steady with five?
Oh, we stayed steady with five, yes, on and off. Currently I have fire marshal position open, and then we've got another gentleman leaving at the end of the month, and we're going to hopefully move one of our part-timers up into that position. The biggest difference is our call volume has almost doubled in the last year.
So to drill down in a little bit more on fire, just because we do have an agreement with Oconee County and they provide that $285,000, what I was hoping to show you here is the amount that we put in, what I'm going to say through our general fund revenues compared to what the county puts in. So you see that number has bopped around a little bit. I will say that the $285,000 that we received from Oconee County is it's appreciated by me. However, as we're going to talk today and through some more of these budget cycles, it's not indexed over time. So the time value of money, that the buying power at 285 is significantly less than when it was put in 2012. So just to make note of that. This is our big equipment, meaning there's a couple of trailers and things that we have in fire department that are not listed here. I wanted to point out in particular the two engines that are up there. Chief lists both of them in good condition. Engine 62 we've had a couple of accidents with it recently or over the last year, and so a number of things have had to been repaired on it, but still a good pumper. 61 is too. The useful life on these are 20 years, so we've got a little bit of time on them, but Chief, you'll correct me if I get my numbers imprecise. To replace one of those is probably in the $750,000 to $800,000 range. So nothing that we're looking at now, nothing that we may need to look at even next year, but something I want to be on your radar. What we do need to address is what I'm going to say, the two more administrative vehicles that still get used as emergency vehicles because they respond to calls in them. The Crown Vic, we're going to take that out of service one way or another. It needs to be taken out of service. The Chief's Expedition, he has service calls on it every year. So beginning to plan for when we need to do that. If you think of this and you think of this screen that I showed you, I'll go back, and I'm sorry I didn't put them next to each other. So here we have two vehicles in police that need to be replaced. And I'm going to suggest that one of these should be replaced next year, which is the Crown Vic. The Chief's Expedition, I feel like we could get a few years out of it. So that would be three vehicles in the general fund. And I'm not giving you any data right now on Herb Poole's vehicles, which would also kind of be in this realm. So my hope is when we put the budget together, that I'm going to come to you with a lease purchase option to be able to buy three vehicles, two for police and one for fire. Based off the estimates that I have from Chief Patterson, those are probably going to be about $45,000 vehicles. So you've got the vehicle cost, which first we've got to find them. You know how difficult that can be. And then the second part of the cost is going to be the upfitting with light bars and the other equipment that goes into it. It doesn't do us any good to just buy the vehicle. They need the vehicle to be able to function as police and fire vehicles. So,
does the Municipal Association have that set up now with cost share?
They do.
Cost sharing, but it's a, what do they call that now?
They call it a statewide procurement program.
Yeah, that's what it was.
For the most part, for public safety vehicles, it's not that difficult to find dealers that have. There's a number of dealers around the state that will stock these. It just depends on whoever's got the state contract. So as we get closer, we'll identify who's got a state contract and very likely buy these vehicles off of state contract, because usually those are going to be the best negotiated deals. And if we can get a better negotiated deal, we certainly will advocate for it. But again, this is all budget depending. But we're at a point with the three vehicles, two in police and this one in fire, where we're going to have to make some adjustments. Fire 1% fund, again, there's not really a lot for you as a council to consider with this. This is mostly discretionary money for the firefighters that comes through the state insurance program. But it's part of your budget, so we have it here. Code enforcement. I'll note on here that you saw a big uptick between 21 and 22 for two reasons. One is we actually put a full-time position in that is split between code enforcement and what we call annexation. So it's funded half in the general fund and half in the utility fund. What is funded solely in the general fund is that contractual services line item, which is $50,000. That was for the comp plan and the zoning ordinance rewrite. We're not going to use all of that $50,000 this year. We'll have used a chunk of it. You guys have participated in a number of workshops that we've had with them. I think we'll get a lot of that done before we close this current fiscal year out. But we may have to, and if we don't, that would go to fund balance. But we may have some in next fiscal year to be able to, particularly on the zoning. I feel pretty comfortable about closing comp plan, but the zoning is going to be a heavy lift. So I've got two slides here on this. We've talked a lot about whether or not the utility fund transfer funds public safety or not. And the way I envision public safety working is that public safety really doesn't have the ability to generate income. Now it does. There are some fees that we generate through police and fire, but they're not what you're going to fund your police and fire department off of. It's ancillary income at best. If you consider that public safety is, in fact, a revenue loss, meaning you can't generate revenue, you're really just spending money to provide the services. The way that I've always viewed this is that that is funded through your general revenue. For the most part, it's going to be your tax revenue, your business license revenue, the things that we collect that we compel people to pay us for general activities. So I put it down at the bottom. The idea, use general taxes, fees, etc. to fund public safety. It's a cost to serve, meaning you don't ever want your public safety cost to exceed what you can bring in those revenue sources. So if I can orient you, I don't know if I can make, no, can't make my cursor go over. If you look where it says, has the 2021, and these are audited numbers, and you see where it says police expense, fire expense, which is on my side of that blue line, and then I deduct the county funding. Now, I deduct the county funding on both sides because what I'm trying to show is that while we appreciate that revenue, it's nothing that we raise in ad valorem taxes or our fees. It's a contract amount we have with the county. So I'm netting that out of both sides so we can see what the true cost, our true cost of public safety is. I put the price of codes in. Remember, this is 2021 data, not 22. And so when you get the total of $744,000 and change, that's how much public safety cost us. If you look over on the revenue side, which is Dale's side of the blue line, you have what we bring in general fund revenue, and then I net out, you'll see the small footnote over there, the hospitality tax transfer, which was $50,000. We had two state grants that came in. One of these, well, we actually had more than two, but one was for some equipment for fire, and I believe the audit actually captured the money we got from the state for the Hall Street property. And then there's something else that's in that state grant. So I net the grant revenue back out because we aren't going to count on that each year. And then I also net out our utility transfer for the year so that what we're looking at, then the next line I net out the contractual value for Oconee County so we can see what do we have in general revenue that we can apply to public safety activities. So the difference between that is in the line that says revenue or rev minus expense. I shouldn't have abbreviated there, I apologize. And so the difference is we actually raised $343,000 more in revenue than we do have an expense for public safety. But now we also fund other things. So we have a solid waste transfer because solid waste historically has not paid for itself. We also have a transfer to recreation because we augment the recreation fund. I don't think we're looking for that to pay for itself. So even though in solid waste, arguably we're trying to head to a cost to serve model there, and there's some slides that'll speak to that in a minute. And then we have what are just other uses. So other uses are going to be administrative, and they'll go back in with some of those other funding sources that fund other general fund activities. But for the most part, if you think of the cost to serve model, that what you spend on public safety is coming out of your general revenue, you can show that we're doing a good job of keeping those expenditures within the revenue that we bring in. So it's a little bit different than I've heard a number of you talk about, probably than how you've considered in the past. But in my mind, the way that public safety is paid for is through general income, not a specific tied to amount, meaning not your transfer, not your age tax, not one-time state grants. It's going to be things that you can count on year to year to year to year. That also helps us wean off that utility transfer to pay for anything for public safety. Changing the mindset that we use that to pay for public safety. We charge it to ourselves as a franchise fee, and we use it for other general government activities, but not public safety. And so, all that explanation in mind, here's how we built our budget for this year. So, this is 22 budgeted, not actual. So I'll give you just a second to look at it. And you'll see on the revenue side, there are no state grants that we anticipated receiving in 2022. So you're only going to see a hospitality tax transfer in and a utility transfer in that were netted out. Again, if you look at the revenue minus expenditure line, we are still to the good when it comes to public safety. Now, we've got other things we have to fund. It's not that we've got that much left over with nothing to assign it to. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to public safety, in my mind, I think we do a pretty good job in what's called the cost-to-serve model, meaning we're assigning cost to a revenue source. And when you assign the public safety cost to the revenue source of general income, general revenue, those two match up. Which I would say is a good thing. Any questions on?
Yeah, Matt, do you have any? I know you were looking at computers previously. Did you have computers in all this?
There might be some technology things.
Yeah, and you'll, not the next budget workshop, but the one that we have in April will be where you actually see what we're presenting to you for an expenditure for next year. So these are still kind of looking back at the calls that we had. So this slide I didn't include last year, and when I got to thinking about it, I was thinking, what was I thinking last year? Why didn't we include this? The value of a meal is very important to us. I apologize that I've got it spelled different ways, but I'll tell you that everyone spells it a different way. Some people spell it with one L, some with two, and so I know it's spelled differently on here. It annoys the geek in me, but I left it there acknowledging that people spell it differently. We'll see how the reporter in the room chooses to spell it based off AP standards of reporting. So our current millage is 99.3 mils, and it's been that way, I think, going back at least the last decade, which in Oconee County is the highest millage rate of any municipality in the county. We wish that weren't true, but if you look at the gold line down at the bottom, and you look at that $6,487, that's the value of our mill for this current fiscal year. So for every mill that you charge, we bring in $6,487. So we charge almost $100, so we bring in, right, it actually nets out to a little less than $600,000 by the time you take out the percentage not the auditor, the county department that actually brings it in, the assessor. So all this number comes from, all these numbers in this sheet come from Christy Hubbard. She does an excellent job of breaking it down. You have it in your handouts so that you can look at it. That number will change. My hope is that it will go up for the FY23 year. I don't expect it's going to go up a whole lot more than $6,500, but again, we'll see. When we talk about the Local Development Corporation and improving the building values down here, every time we improve the value of a building, that goes into our total assessed value. And with reassessment coming up in the next year, that helps increase the value of the mill each year.
So we're going on a steady increase that much each year. You're satisfied with that? That's good.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, it's, and I think it'll get stronger with each thing that we do. In code enforcement, removing some of the blighted properties will help. But more importantly, using that Local Development Corporation to improve the buildings, when they come by and reassess the condition of the building, each one that's been improved gets a higher assessed value. And that goes into, if you're looking under the 2020-2021 column over on the far right there, you see assessed value and market value. We're looking for that that assessed value to keep going up. And that's the aggregate for all the property that's in the city. That also helps when we annex property. That adds to the aggregate. Any questions on that particular slide? Solid waste. I didn't realize my little balloon pullout was going to look quite so Charlie Brownish, but it's important for you to know that last year we raised the solid waste rates 5%. If you come back over and you look at the 2021 column where you've got the revenue and expense, those are audited numbers. And you can see we actually brought in more revenue than we had budgeted, and we spent less than we budgeted. So we had a net positive year in solid waste last year. If you see the footnote down at the bottom, the budget amount for 2021 was $448,000 in revenue and expenses, because those two numbers had to match up. Well, we brought in more revenue than we anticipated. We spent less than we anticipated. So we had a net positive year. For 2022, when we built this year's budget, we had a 5% rate increase that applied to everything that we, or inside and outside residential. I won't say everything. I'm pretty sure it was everything, but I know it was the inside and outside residential solid waste customers. That netted it looks strange because the service charge that's audited in the 389 is higher than the 365, but the 365, it's higher than what the actual budgeted number was last year. I don't know if us collecting that additional money in 2021 was an anomaly, if we had a couple of things that added to that, or if that's something that we can start to look at and can rely on. Once we get through this year, we can look at it and know, is that, are we actually experiencing that higher level of income or not? So when we talked at the first budget workshop that I may come to you and propose another rate increase in solid waste, we will scrutinize that revenue stream before that comes to you as a proposal. So it may be that if we're able to collect at that 389 or 390, we don't have to ask for another rate increase, we won't. If for some reason there was one or two things last year that bumped that number up, then I'll make sure we account for that.
That's with a transfer of $76,000 this year though, right?
Yes.
So without the transfer, solid waste is still not?
Still doesn't make money. No, it still doesn't pay for itself.
Don't pay for itself. We're still having to supplement.
Yeah. So I did a quick calculation on 2021, and we could have gotten by with a $31,000 transfer from the general fund instead of an $86,000 transfer. So if you were just to net out what we brought in versus what we spent, $31,000 would have been what we needed. So again, this is one of those revenue streams that's got enough unpredictability. When I look at it, I try and kind of walk the middle of it because it's moved a little bit even in the years prior to 2021.
Could it be the additional customers we have? Because at one time, only how many houses we had for sale? You remember what? 30, 40 houses for sale in town, maybe more than that. Everything's sold now. We've got active customers. Could that be it?
It could be.
But even with the 5% rate increase, we're still having to supplement it $76,000 this year?
Yes. So the hope is if we make this a true cost to serve fund, then you're charging enough in service charges to not need a general fund transfer at all. When we talked about this last year, we acknowledged that was a heavy lift in one or two fiscal years, that we probably wanted to do it over three or four. So to the extent that that's where we're still heading and that revenue stream is a little less strong than the 2021 implies there, we'll adjust. I think Lee and his crew do a really good job of containing those costs. And you have on your council agenda some discussion about the solid waste ordinance that we have, and having a discussion about that could help contain some of our costs even more. We do some things that our code says that we shouldn't do. If we did what the code says, we would save money. But because we tend to be overly customer friendly in some regards, we're picking up things sometimes that we don't really have a good way to contain the cost on. So it's give and take. We want to make sure that we're being friendly to the citizens and doing everything we can there. But there's also there are times that comes at an expense to us. Again, I give Lee the credit for keeping those costs down.
You still know nothing from the county about future tipping fees or anything? We're still good?
I have not heard. Okay. That is that would be a perpetual fear of mine until it's not a fear. It's I would say it's a fear every year. Youth rec. I'll note that the jump from 21 to 22 here in that budget amount has to do with that increase in hospitality tax transfer for the capital project out at Owens Field. So last year we looked at this and we just had 2021 information, and so I put that in as an actual, and those numbers are revised from what you saw last year, and we put in 2022. Just to give you a sense of what percentage of the money do we see accounts for what we spend at Youth Rec. Again, it's a little bit skewed because we've got that, and not all of that 266 is in one line item there. It's spread across the general fund and the age tax. But, I think you all know this. Herb Poole does a really good job of raising a lot of revenue for his own department. If there's a nickel to be made off of concessions, he makes it. I think he's fair in his pricing. He doesn't overcharge anybody. He doesn't account for his time, which would probably mean we sell it at a loss if we did. But that's, y'all know Herb, that's how he is. He recently went up, what was it, 25 or 50 cents on a bottle of water.
25 cents.
And it was painful discussion for him to go up 50 cents on a bottle of water. And he'll tell you that one of the things that gripes him is in the contract for a particular group of referees is they get a free bottle of water as a part of their contract. He doesn't particularly like that. So I say all that a little bit in jest, but to also let you know, he does a really strong job of containing cost. Even at what you look at there for this 2022 budget, I expect you're going to see those numbers come in low. They were lower in 21 because of COVID. So you had quite a bit of revenue budgeted that didn't materialize, but you had an offsetting amount of expenditures that didn't materialize either. So if he wasn't able to run a full season, you don't have revenue, but you also didn't have the expenditures. And we still have a little bit of that lagging into this year. Local Development Corporation, we get the $16,500 from PMPA each year. We've got an infusion over the course of this current fiscal year from the Municipal Association of $25,000 in the form of a grant, and of that $25,000, we've spent about $10,000. Hospitality and accommodations. Again, we talked about hospitality being strong. Again, note, make the footnote that we brought in the 266 from fund balance. I expect that our 2022 number in actual H tax receipts is going to be around that 170. Accommodations, this one is, it actually doesn't even materialize at 6,300. I think it comes in at 2,300. And that's because we have very few places that collect the A-tax and corporate limits. So I wanted to give this to you as a discussion point, or at least something to think about. You know, we have what I'm calling the special allocations out of hospitality tax. They're pending. We've sent the grant applications out. I wanted to show you what had been spent in the past. Make a note that 2020 was a low year because there was a lot that didn't get done because of COVID, and you held back on spending some money that year. Do you have a sense for where you would like for me to target how much you want to give in these special allocations? Is it 30, 40, 50? Do you want to... The idea being, you have about $170,000 in income. Mm-hmm. We have a need where we could use all 170, but we also, I believe, benefit in hospitality tax by giving some of these funds out.
What did we give in 18?
I didn't go that far back.
You remember? We had it figured out. Everybody that needed something got almost what they wanted that one year. But I don't remember what the total was. But with the master plan for Main Street, the Hall Street project we're looking at, I don't know if we want to increase it above 40 or not. What do y'all think? David? You don't have a list of what we paid out last year, do you? Is it included in this? We can nail that down at the next meeting, I guess. But
what I'll do is I'll make $40,000 a target with a little bit of flexibility for you. Because we still don't have all the grant applications aren't due until Friday, so we still don't know what this year's requested amount's going to be.
Okay.
Which is how we designed the budget calendar. It's fine, but if $40,000 is where you feel comfortable, I'll set that aside for these special allocations and maybe hold $5,000 or $8,000 in an undesignated amount. So if you want to move that up.
I'm going in my head and I think with around 40.
40 is what you gave this year.
Unless we have anything new come up.
I think you got one coming out of this thing on it. Down there with the CBD place. I think they're going in if you're looking to do something. But I don't know how much they're asking for. Yeah. They never mentioned it.
To target that, too, where we?
Well, for district, that's what I think.
So these numbers, this slide was in your last slide. Policy considerations, again, what we talk about here helps guide me in what you will see in your final budget. The utility transfer fee is still relevant because what we do in general fund is affected. This is one of our significant revenue streams. I'm going to target 5% because that's what you told me in the last budget workshop.
Yes, sir.
And
y'all still good with that?
I'm good. I won't say anything else. Contingency planning. Last time we looked at what contingency planning would look like in each of the utility revenue or in the utility expense columns. I would suggest that's as important in solid waste, probably not as important in youth rec and hospitality. In the utility world, where we know we got water, sewer, and electric lines that's going to give out on us, and it could be anywhere from $5,000 to $500,000, having a stronger contingency fund over there is far more important than having it over here. But I wanted to show you also what those numbers would look like.
Lee, how's the trucks for the solid waste?
We're hoping to budget this year for a truck and we pay them off because the garbage truck is in constant repair.
So that's the one we definitely need a contingency for?
That would be my suggestion that we have. But again, it's still not paying for itself. So to put contingency in means you're taking more money out of the general fund to keep that contingency. So you may want to hold off on that until we've got the cost to serve model paying for it. A Again, calculating days cash on hand. We talked about how important this is. This is the same slide that you had at the last budget meeting. Again, this is the same one. PMPA is calculating that we have 79 days cash on hand. However, I believe that was a miscalculation on their part. I believe that it shows what you have over here is a 27 day. So, Mayor, when we were talking about debt service, the last budget workshop, I put the correction in blue over the bottom right-hand corner. I had accidentally put debt service for the knuckle boom into the 2024 time frame, and it actually concludes in 2023. So for 2023, you will pay off the garbage truck and the knuckle boom truck. And you can see what that annual debt service was costing, and that is in the solid waste fund. So we do have need for additional equipment that if we stage it so that it's bought in the 2024 time frame, then you don't incur any additional expense than what you're already seeing. You see what we have on the utility side, those numbers haven't changed. Questions, comments.
Hey, have you talked with her about the rec department increasing the pay for the referees and umpires?
We have, and we have.
Is that going to be a part of the proposal when you bring it to us?
We increased the pay for the referees, and I think we were able to absorb that in this year's budget.
Okay.
So by that I mean when he put his budget numbers together for next year, I don't think you're going to see a big jump in that.
And it's not a huge amount, just
no.
For y'all to know, I've talked with them from all three cities, everybody around here, and we pay our least amount of anybody, and he has trouble getting referees and umpires to fill them because we don't pay them. But it's about $2-3 a game. It's not, that was it, wasn't it?
There were a few where it was as much as $10 a game.
Was it?
But by closing the gap, you don't have to fill the whole gap. You just need to close it. He was able to get more refs.
That's still cheap compared to a lot of places.
What we pay is not a lot of money. You do it because you like it, not because you're hoping to really make much money off of it.
You're right.
So how's your general feeling if we get that utility transfer back down here where it needs to be? Are we going to be looking at cutting anything, or you think we're going to do it?
I don't think so. Right now, and I haven't sat down and really dove deep into the revenue numbers when we talk about the solid waste, like what's going on with that collection. There's a good bit more information I want to look at. But keeping this in mind, I expect your budget next year, utility, is going to be higher. So your percentage of that can be lower and you still net more money.
Yeah.
So we've got some very hard cost increases that we've looked at, that gas prices more or less went up $1 this week, a gallon. We run a lot of vehicles. That's a big expense for us. The department heads have already submitted budget requests that accounted for cost increase in gas, but they didn't contemplate a whole dollar increase. Every one of them shaking their heads behind you, and I'm not even looking at them.
I can hear it right.
So I'll probably have to go back with each one of them, and you know, if whoever, I usually go to the Wall Street Journal because I don't know any other place to go, and see if they are forecasting how long that'll last, if it's truly tied to the conflict that we're having in the former Soviet Union area, then who knows how long that'll last. But it's very real. Drive by QT or Bountyland, you see it. The other cost increase that we were made aware of this week is our cost for employee insurance is scheduled to go up by 18.1% beginning in January. So half of our fiscal year, we will see an increase. Now, there's good and bad in that. There's the fact that we haven't had a substantial increase in the last 2, maybe 3 or 4 years. That's nice. But it still kind of is piling on in 1 year. It's also good because the employees should not see that much of an increase on their side. The increase is all on the employer side. Now, the employees are going to see an increase in their deductible by $30, which is good. I mean, it's much better than it going up or doubling. So from an employee perspective, I'd say that that's not a bad deal for them. But for us to keep funding what we've been funding, and I don't have the total dollar amount of that for you right now, but I will when we get to that meeting down the road. Kylie and I and even Rebecca have started running some of those numbers based off what we currently have as across our employees, what we currently pay for what they currently get, what would that increase look like for us? And so I'll be able to give you that as a pretty strong monthly amount, and then we'll annualize it over, or we'll take it over 6 months because it will only apply. That is still subject to state approval. And what the PIVA folks are telling us now is that the state, the General Assembly, doesn't codify that until August. So between now and August, it could change. It could come back and be more, it could come back and be less. We'll certainly make sure I don't really believe I have to mention this to the Municipal Association to get them to lobby to make that as low as possible, but I believe what they're doing at the state level is what I've advocated for you to do here, is that cost to serve. They're passing on the cost of that insurance to us rather than using one-time money out of the state budget to buy it down. So we'll just see where we end up with that. The other thing is there is real pressure on wages. There are some positions I think we're okay in the competitive municipal world in Oconee County, maybe even Anderson County. There are some places that we just are not. I think our department heads do a good job at doing everything they can. When we look at your personnel policy today, I think, and we talk through, there's some very employee-friendly things that I've stuck in there to help incentivize that really don't have a hard cost. Everything you do has got a cost, but it's a bit harder to tie down adding another holiday in there. Maybe you don't want government bureaucrats to have another holiday, that'll be fine. But there are things that we can do like that to help make Westminster a far more employee desirable place to work. So those are real costs that we're looking at right now as we put this together. The gasoline, the wage pressures, and insurance. Thank you. I was like, I had three. I knew to put three fingers up, so I wouldn't forget.
Well, those are the three I've been concerned with. But what else? I mean, I know in the utility we've got all the wire, the transformers, the pipe, the fittings, all of that's gone up. I mean, that keeps going up. But in the general fund, as far as expenses for things like that, we don't really have that much more than just a solid waste, the expenses for that. But I know we're going to be hit with how long this mess is going to go on.
Now, one of the things that we have on the fire side coming to you, and I give Chief Smith a lot of credit for coming up with a way to fund it, is we need to buy new SBAs. The county is purchasing new ones. We need to have the same thing they have. Chief, what's the total price tag of that? Do you remember?
I didn't bring it. I think it's one, we'll say around 150.
And we have the ability to use the same thing the county did, which is to do it in installment purchases, which kind of smooth out those costs over the next 3 years, I believe.
3 to 7, whatever. Okay.
So, in my mind, that's one of the things that we can't take off the table. We need our firefighters to be able to breathe when they go in. They've got to have the equipment that they're going to have any other place that they go in Oconee County. The overall impact is not big, but when you add that in, with insurance and gas and wage pressures, it all starts to add up. But again, when I look at this right now, I'm pretty optimistic that we'll get most of what we need. Keeping in mind, we have a lot of this ARP money that is still in, that we've got from the state, that's in our coffers right now. You have a resolution that in effect lets us bring all of it in without any more restrictions once you pass a resolution. Now, my recommendation is that we leave that in water and sewer infrastructure as much as possible because we've got a lot of need. But having that money there takes pressure off the utility fund for the same. What we would use that money for, we're not asking you to increase cost for, so we can do the same work.
Right.
We'll have the ability to go after more state funding, and I've got something to give you a quick briefing on that when we get into the council meeting. So all in all, Mayor, I feel pretty good about where we are. We'll have a couple of decision points to make. Very likely going to be a rate increase on the solid waste. I know it's not happy to talk about, but very likely will have to be a small increase on electric so that we keep pace with the... Oh, Mayor, what do we call those credits? I guess we call them the credits.
The credits.
That we're not getting back from PMPA that we had been. And then we may need a small sewer increase because the last 20% that we passed along didn't fully cover our cost. And we knew that at the time. We talked that we would use, I think it was $12,000 to fill in the gap. I think we're fine on water. We'll keep adjusting some of these smaller fees. Lee and his staff have begun looking at what we charge in water and sewer tap fees. There's some that we're so far below market rate, we can increase our numbers and bring in more revenue and yet still be cheaper than everyone else. And that will bring in some additional revenue as well. So I think when I look at it, Mayor, I don't feel a lot of doom and gloom. I feel kind of heavy-hearted that we've got this gasoline thing that's hanging out there. But when it comes to funding more pay for the employees, I'll tell you, I'm for that. We have very hard-working employees. Many of them I would put up against any other staff. And paying them more just makes them better. So you'll see that. And today, also in the council meeting, we'll talk about what was called the COVID bonuses.
Yeah.
That I'll get your take on what you want to do there. But all in all, I feel pretty good about what we've got. There may be a few tough decisions we've got to make. The biggest challenge that I'm interested in how we kind of go into the space is when we get the new council members here. What will be different from what those of us here now spend the time putting together to what we may pass in the end? To you and to them, I say, your staff will do whatever you ask us. If you want us, if we get to June and you want us to turn the bucket upside down and start from scratch, that's exactly what we'll do.
Well, that's why I'm glad some of them are here, just so they can hear this. They can see where we're at.
And I spoke to Ms. Reese today, and I've spoken to Ms. Snipes, and they will get copies of this presentation as well as last week's. And as much as I can find anybody else, I'll make sure that I think I have Ms. Ramey's email address somewhere. I'll make sure everybody that's running for office has as much information as I can get to them.
Okay.
So that whatever decisions they make, they at least have the information on you. Then.
Who we got here, Mr. Golden? And, we got two of them here. Yeah. So, all right. Can we ask questions now?
Yeah, that's why I got you a question slot.
Police Department.
Sir.
I'm just going to ask. I want a wish list. Your wish list for this year, employees, vehicles. And I know you're going to go over all that with us down the road just so we can go ahead and start questioning about it.
Top of the list is
two vehicles.
So the two vehicles are your two major, that's all you really have, major?
That's the major, that's top of my list right
now. Michael?
For me, naturally, it's staffing.
How many?
Three, full-time. Call volume is doubling, it never goes down, it continues to go up. With minimal staffing, everybody has to do callback, which means on your day off, we have something, you have to come back, because now we're starting to get 2 to 3 calls at the same time while we're out on other calls. And they're just more or less getting burned out. And with callback, we can't have a second job because this is primary job, which is the main reason two of my guys have left. They're not mad, they understand their system, but they can make more money working less other places. So that's why they're leaving. So I'm going to say staffing. Naturally, the vehicle, because we're just, especially the Crown Vic, it's been a problem for 5 to 6 years that we've been asking to replace it. And then the airbags is a big deal. SCBA is given, referred to them. But we've got 4 that are currently out of date. We have 14 that will go out of date mid-2023. Getting quotes on those, they're not cheap, but I think they're around $9,800 a piece to stay with what we have. Like Kevin alluded to, the county got a grant and they're switching everything over. So if we stay Scott, which is just a name brand, we're kind of on an island. We have no interoperability with the county at all. But if we switch, and now's the perfect time to switch with every one of them going out. Then we can buy them at the same price the county is by piggybacking into theirs, which will save us almost $100,000. But that's mine.
That's going through. And solid waste, nothing big yet.
Sure.
The truck now or the 2023?
We talked before, we pay off the knuckle and the garbage truck. That money, since hit the budget again,
yeah,
we'll make it till there.
That's not this year, that'll be next year?
23's budget, yeah. It pays off in 23. But once the budget's approved, we'll start looking to take a lot of good vehicles. And I'm also looking at different vehicles. There's the,
what's that? What's about a year out in build time? Or?
I don't know. Some people got one really recently, but there's a different kind. There's the, it's like a grinder. You pick it up and it grinds the waste. You get a smaller truck with more waste in it. And one, you got Seneca's, and I've talked to Valhalla. One loves it, one can't stand it. So I got to get a third opinion, I guess, because there's different. Can you get any piece of metal at all from the sightwinders, they call them? You got lots of money repairs. Yeah. So we got to look at that a little bit closer because it's a cheaper truck, holds more, lighter, easier to get around town. But once it goes down, it's all we got. We're not going to flee with them for stuff. Mm-hmm. So but they're expensive.
And on wreck, you're not sure of anything? You're thinking so, vehicle, but you're not sure?
Well, right now I'd say we're okay on vehicles for wreck. Now, they always get the bottom of the heap. They yeah. get what's been handed down and then handed down again. Mm-hmm. But they're just driving it from one local point to another local point. Herb got a new vehicle. When did Herb get his new
last
vehicle?
Year.
Last year. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to him being able to travel, which is the most important thing because he's got to go to the regional rec meetings and all that kind of stuff, I'd say we're in good shape there. The stuff that we use locally, while it's nothing grand, it serves its purpose.
Anything for City Hall or anything else we're looking at needing?
I don't think so. We get by pretty good with what we have.
Coffee pot good, Rebecca?
Don't she doesn't drink good. Coffee, but no, we...
As long as we have a refrigerator, I'm good. Coke.
Yeah, so we're good. You know, the one thing that we haven't discussed here yet is what will we do with that magistrate building? Now, part of my plan was that we would include that in the discussion with the master planning. Mm-hmm. I've talked to some of you and a couple of other folks about converting that into a small council chamber, which could also be used as a meeting space. So essentially you'd have a dais space like this with movable chairs and then two restrooms, and that would be the space. I think it'd be a great place to do that. We've talked about bringing the police department into City Hall. That's just kind of logistics as far as I'm concerned. We haven't done it because we don't really have to. You all have been to what I call my upstairs office.
You need an elevator.
Well, you know, you're the guy with the new
knees is what we need.
And you know what? He'll come up those steps quicker than anybody because he's got new knees.
Yeah. Bionic knees.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the staff gave me a little bit of grief because both that desk I have up there, I found at Clemson, and the one that I have in what I call my downstairs office, I found at the back of the Oconee County surplus, but they both work as a desk, so I'm happy. And I'm kind of saying that a little bit in jest, but if we need anything, it's probably going to be on the utility service function side.
Yeah.
So our AMI system, Lee and Kylie, Jennifer and Rebecca have spent a fair amount of time here recently trying to get that AMI system to work a bit more optimally. So we may have some additional small things that we need to invest in that. But when it comes to the actual physical layout, unless you guys tell me you want something different, we're in good shape. I mean, even this year, we worked in a small amount of money to put cameras up at City Hall, and the IT guy was by today, and we should have those in, I guess, in the next month, which adds an additional layer of security at City Hall and one of our other sites. So I feel pretty good about what we're doing there. I tell you, the thing that gives me a little bit of heartburn is really your fire staffing. I'd feel much more comfortable if we never sent somebody out by themselves.
Well, I agree.
That comes with a hefty price tag. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate I'm going to put that in my budget proposal to you, but you'll know what the cost of those three firefighters would be. And it's not because I don't support them being in there. If we include those in, then I'm not quite sure how to pay for everything.
Mm-hmm. You got any more questions?
No.
Very good.
This is my favorite slide.
That's your favorite one?
Well, it's got an informational component. That last piece right there Except you really can't go home because you're your council. But.
Yeah. Well, next budget, I mean, I expect to see the fire department little sign on there and something.
Okay, well.
That's just fair.
That is fair. And that's on me and not on Chief Smith. I snuck that in without him actually.
He's going to go home and put it on Facebook. He's like, he's doing it now.